Carolyn Jones was driving her cabriolet to Mississippi as fast as she dared, watching ahead for cops and passing on the left side. It was Thursday, and she had to be there Monday morning. She was going to Millsaps College to fill in for a poet who had died the week before. The poet had been a black woman with an attitude so big no one was surprised when she died, and only a few people were sorry. Still, her death had left the English department in a mess. This was lucky for Carolyn, as it had given her a chance to regain her status in academia. She had ruined her reputation by quitting a job at Yale to go whore for the movies. It was not entirely Carolyn's fault that she had been seduced by Hollywood. Her parents had given her bad advice. They had taught her to worship money over all other things. It would be years before Carolyn began to recover from the greed they had placed in her heart. But that is another story. For now she was driving to Jackson, and she was in a hurry. When the movie scam fell through, she had been forced to go back to Nashville and live with her parents. She had lived there for 7 months while she searched for a job. She had almost given up hope when the call came from an old friend at Millsaps. "There's a job teaching Shakespeare and poetry," her friend said. "You'd have to be here in a week. I'll find you a place to live, and in the meantime you can stay with me. I told them you were the best young poet in the South, so the job is yours if you'll take it." "How much?" "You won't like it. $30,000, a third of what they were paying Topeka. They see this as a chance to recoup those losses, but the job is here if you'll take it." "I'll be there. Anything to get away from here. What do I have to do?"
"Start packing. I'm excited. It will be marvelous to have you here. A dream come true."
He giggled, then laughed out loud. His name was Augustus Haley. He was a good-looking, tall, blonde man who had been her closest friend at Vanderbilt. He had been her confidant and running buddy. He had kept her grounded and made her laugh. He had gone shopping with her and talked her into cutting her hair. Also, he had believed in her poetry, even when she stopped believing in it herself. "If we're both there, something will happen," she said. "I've never been in Mississippi, Augustus. I don't think I've ever crossed the border."
"I'll take care of you. You know that. Is there anything you need?"
"Start finding me a boyfriend. A house, a boyfriend, a health food store. I've decided that's all anybody needs."
"Well, I don't know about the health food store, but there's a theater group I think you'll like. Actually, it's a cabal. The people who run this town are in it. They all go to the same psychiatrist. Isn't that a kick? On Monday morning, he gets to hear 6 different versions of the cast party from the weekend before."
Augustus was in high gear, his imagination and good humor taking flight at the thought of having his old friend for a colleague.
"I didn't know psychiatrists practiced on Mondays. The 2 I saw never went to the office on Monday." "Well, whatever day they go in. What were you doing at a psychiatrist's office? You're the sanest person I know."
"Quitting Yale? Going to Los Angeles? By the time I got home, I was a basket case. I was down to size 4 Gap jeans."
"You must have looked fabulous."
"I looked like a refugee. Also, I haven't written a poem in 14 months. Maybe I'll never write again."
"We'll see about that. Well, get off the phone. Start packing. I'll tell the board the good news. The head of the department will call you later. Her name's Gail Wildman. You'll like her. She's a good person. One of us."
Now Carolyn was on her way. She had crossed the state line into Mississippi and was coming down the Natchez Trace Parkway. The old Buffalo Trail, Eudora Welty called it. Carolyn was peopling the woods with Miss Welty's characters as she drove. "I'll do a good job for these people," she was thinking. "I'll teach as hard as I can. I'll teach the dumb ones and the smart ones. I'll give something to every student if it kills me. Then I'll start writing again. If I'm teaching poetry, it will make me write. Well, who cares if I write or not? Who gives a damn about publishing some crappy little poems in magazines that don't pay? Where did I get the idea that I'm a poet? There are only 1 or 2 poets in any generation. That confessional dribble I've been writing isn't poetry. I should be writing plays. Maybe this theater needs a play. If they're rich, there would be backing. Well, forget about that. I have a job teaching school, and I've got to take that seriously this time." She hunkered down over the wheel of her little green cabriolet.
It had been her graduation present from Vanderbilt. It had 200,000 miles on it, but it would last until she could afford another. Outside of Tupelo, Mississippi, it began to rain. It was raining so hard the windshield wipers could barely move. The small car began to weave from side to side. Carolyn stopped underneath an overpass and watched the rain come down on the kudzu-covered hills. She reached in the back seat and found a sandwich her mother had put in the car. She ate the sandwich. She opened a bag of cookies and ate one. Then she did an unexpected thing. She pulled a notebook out of a side pocket of the car and began to write a poem. It was the first one she had written in more than a year. The Muse of Chocolate Chip Cookies. Sugar makes me know the rain, as if I were rain and it were me, here at the top of the food chain, burning dinosaurs and trees in my cabriolet, punching holes in the ozone, ready to rape and pillage or be pillaged. We shall see.